Hello and welcome to Making Sense of Social Media. My name is Lori Clausen, a 13-year veteran social media marketing specialist, and I'm thrilled to be talking about content marketing with you for small business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, here at my agency, my company, Clausen Marketing, we keep it very real, very authentic, which is why I've decided to keep my background from being blurred out. I just thought, you know, us small business owners, us people that work from home, this is what we live with. And I don't ever want to be considered to be fake or phony, which if you know me at all, or if you've seen me on social media at all, you know that I'm pretty real. And today, I'm super excited to welcome a special guest. His name is Kyle. He will introduce himself to you as well. But Kyle is someone that I met through a program that I'm participating in now for social media marketing agency owners. And he's really, really awesome. So I can't wait to share some of his insights with you about content marketing. And hopefully you'll benefit from some of the things we talk about. Welcome, Kyle. I'm so pleased to have you here today interviewing on Making Sense of Social Media podcast. Introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here today, because I'm super excited to chat with you.
You bet. I'm excited too. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast. So a little bit about myself. My name is obviously Kyle Hamilton. I operate Burr Agency based in Fernie, British Columbia. We are a small boutique agency that is servicing independent hotels and resorts. A little bit about myself. I started out my kind of quote unquote professional career working in hospitality, working in at a backcountry lodge here in Fernie. It's actually how I ended up in this mountain ski town.
Wow. And for those watching, listening, Fernie, BC, there's barely a place more beautiful than that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, no, I can launch into a little anecdote that I'm sure some of your listeners would love, but my background, I moved here. I was working in hospitality, this remote backcountry cat skiing lodge. It was gorgeous. Yeah. Worked my way up from kind of dishwasher housekeeper to, I was at one point managing two hotel properties at the ski hill.
Wow.
Hit a point where I was trying to build a career as a photographer as well, and content creator. It got to the point where I was working 40, 50 hours a day or a week being a hotel manager, as well as being a content creator photographer. And my wife and I kind of sat down and was like, okay, one of these things has to give. And she said, well, if you drop photography for 4 or 5 years to focus on hospitality and it doesn't work out, are you going to be able to get back into the content creation side of things? I was like, well, technology is going to advance. Everything's going to change. It's going to be tough. Right. She's like, what about the other way? You focus on photography and in 3 or 4 years, it doesn't work out. Are you going to be able to get back into the hospitality space? And I said, well, I'm probably not going to go back in and step into a manager, kind of general manager type role, but I'm certainly going to be able to find a job and go from there. So with that kind of perspective, she's like, well, chase your dream, go become a professional photographer. And
you have a good wife.
I know, she's the best. I did that for 10 years. I spent my summers working as kind of niched into wedding photography, well established as a wedding photographer. And I would spend my winters traveling around to cat skiing and heli skiing operations, creating content for these operators for their social media and marketing. And basically kind of got to a stage after a decade of doing that. You know, I had a young daughter at home. My wife had a few health issues, and just being away, all the travel didn't make sense anymore. So I got back in. I kind of leveraged that experience. Had a neighbor asked if I had any desk space in my studio, photo studio at the time. And one thing led to another. We started this marketing agency together.
Wow.
I kind of focused on the social media content creation side. He was more on the design and agency management side of things. And that was the genesis of Burr. And here we are now.
That's amazing. I love how you organically like grew into content marketing and just like had so many different experiences with it along the way. So that's super exciting. What a great story. My goodness, that's awesome. So I'm just going to dive into a couple questions here for you, Kyle. So what are the main goals and challenges of creating and distributing content on social media platforms? Like, what would you say goals first and then challenges?
So, I mean, my goal as an agency supporting clients with their social media and their content creation is A, getting people to kind of get over themselves and stop being so shy about putting themselves out there. You know, everybody, and I do the same thing with my agency. So kudos to you, Lori, for actually doing the podcast, this podcast, and getting yourself out there. You know, that is probably the biggest barrier I find working with small businesses and medium. I mean, any size business, really. But you know, as entrepreneurs, a lot of people, they don't want to be front and center. They don't want to be in the limelight. Yeah. So, you know, getting out there, doing it, making sure that you're being consistent. You know, it doesn't work if you post five photos or five videos on Monday, and then it's like 3 or 4 weeks later and you're like, oh, I haven't posted anything in a while. I better post something. And you either post a whole bunch again or you post once. And
I'm just squirming thinking about it because there's literally nothing worse.
You know, like getting up, making sure you're creating content, making sure you're regularly sharing content. And then third, not stressing about the quality of the content. You know, a lot of people really, really get hung up on, well, it's not a Hollywood cinematic video. It's just me with my iPhone. It's like, that's fine. Or, you know, that's all you need at this stage. Start creating content, just start doing it. Start creating a variety of different content and start seeing what your audience is responding to. And then start tailoring your content a bit more to that. And, you know, as you become more experienced, as you start getting more results, that's when you can then start elevating the quality of the content. You know, if you're not trying to do just like spray and pray, throw everything on the wall and see what sticks.
That's good.
But once you start kind of figuring out, okay, this is the direction I want to go, that's when you can then start being a little bit more considerate and conscious about, you know, do I need to buy a new camera? Do I need to buy different audio gear? Do I need to hire a copywriter or even maybe it's just an editor to review everything that you're posting and getting out there? So I think those would be my three main things. But I mean, we could sit here and chat for the rest of the afternoon about all the different aspects to it.
Yeah, absolutely. You've made some excellent points there. I'm sure people are going to get a lot out of that. So let's move on to the next question. How do you measure the effectiveness and impact of social media content? What are the key metrics and maybe tools that you use?
To be perfectly blunt and honest and open, I don't use a whole lot of tools. And I don't usually use a whole lot of metrics apart from some vanity metrics of, you know, how many likes did it get? How many shares did it get?
Dive a little bit deeper into where the likes and or shares or comment or likes,
I mean,
or shares
sort of look at all of that for clients that we manage their social media. You know, I'm always cautioning clients to really be careful about what metrics they're tracking.
That's
because
huge.
Like, you know, vanity metrics are real, and vanity metrics are suck people in. And for your readers who aren't necessarily cognizant or understand what a vanity metric is, it's, you know, don't get sucked in by likes, don't get sucked in by follower counts. When you start looking at, you know, where are my likes coming from, where are my followers coming from, if you're a business in Iowa who's focusing on, I don't know, I'm going to probably sound really ignorant here being a Canadian and not from Iowa, but corn farmers. If all of your likes and followers are people in Southeast Asia, they're probably not your audience. So, you know, you can get 10,000 likes or 10,000 followers from somewhere else in the world. I mean, they might be Canadians even. But if they're not your target audience, they don't really matter. So what we as an agency are always working with clients to focus on and to think about it is think about your campaigns, think about your content holistically, and think about how all the different ways that you can use your content. So, you know, when we talk to a hotel and it's, you know, we're saying like, you know, you need to start creating regular content. We don't want that content solely to live on your Facebook page, on your Instagram page, your TikTok, whatever it's going to be. We want you to dedicate some time to create quality content, and then we're going to put it into a blog post. We're going to put it on your YouTube channel. We're going to share it in your email newsletter. And we're going to make sure that there's a call to action associated with it, that is what we track. And so, you know, we're a little bit less tracking about the specific post. I mean, holistically, we're going to be looking at the metrics in the back end and be like, okay, where is the traffic to your booking widget coming from? Is it coming from social media? Is it coming from your email newsletter? Is it coming from this? And then we're going to look at on kind of a monthly or quarterly basis, what type of content is driving most of that traffic so that we can then double down on that.
I love that. So it's a super holistic sort of functionality to
exactly. Like one thing that we really stress to clients is, you know, you're investing a lot of time and energy into creating content. Mm-hmm. Why are you limiting how you share it to just social media?
That is such a great key right there.
Yeah. And like for me personally, one story that I share with a lot of clients, and I'll share it here now. You don't control your social media. It doesn't matter how much you think you do.
I
was a wedding photographer, I had a buddy in Calgary who he had like 10,000 followers on his Facebook page. He would post a photo, he'd get 1,000 likes. Life was great. Facebook went and changed their algorithm.
Yep.
Suddenly his page, his post that he was putting on his wedding photography page, they might be getting 100 likes. So instantly he lost almost 90% of his engagement through Facebook.
Right.
So, you know, content marketing and creating this content, like that's really why we stress hard to clients. Don't just focus on social media because you don't control that message. You control your website. And you control your email newsletter. Those are the only two channels that you really control. And so to put all your eggs into a TikTok basket, into an Instagram basket, into a LinkedIn basket, whatever it might be, somebody can just come in and change a couple pieces of code, and overnight, suddenly none of your followers are actually seeing what you're putting out there.
Exactly. I love everything you've talked about so far, Kyle. And I just love that it's relevant to not only like medium and larger size corporations and medium sized business, but for small business owners too. And like solopreneurs, like so many of us are out there. So no, that you're giving fantastic tidbits here. So yeah, that's awesome. I love content marketing. I mean, I've been at it myself for almost 15 years, I'm going to say. But anyways, let's talk more about you. What are some of the best practices and tips for creating engaging and relevant content for your target audience? I know you talked about your target audience already. So what are some of the things you do to get them talking?
I think the most important thing there is actually knowing who your target audience is. You know, it's one thing to say, like to create a psychographic profile and, you know, think you can pick them out of a lineup kind of thing, but to really understand what that means from their perspective, like really putting yourself into your audience's shoes, and creating content that is going to resonate with them, and more than resonate, like that's going to have an emotional impact for them. There's so much, I see so much content being created that, you know, is essentially being created for the sake of creating content, that there's no value to it. Like I personally struggle to see the value, and I'll be the first to admit, maybe that content isn't being targeted to me, but I'm still getting paid. You're still paying me for the ad or the paid sponsored placement for me to see it. So, really thinking long and hard about who you're creating the content for and why you're creating this content for them.
Totally.
That is, I think, the biggest thing. The other really important thing that a lot of small business owners that I talk to, I think, struggle with is separating their mindset of good content versus the audience's mindset of what is good content. Like,
or maybe what they think is being expected of them. Is that kind of what you mean? Or?
Well, no, not necessarily what is being expected of them. Direction I was going with this is, behind the scene. No, that's fine. Behind the scenes type content. You know, what as a business owner, we work with a chocolatier, like someone who creates chocolate bars. Yeah. And, cool. What goes on into making a chocolate bar? Like, doing little photos of the production and the assembly of that. As the business owner, that's the stuff that you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, not another day on the production line kind of thing.
But
the audience, they're like, that
eats it up.
Is
they
really
love
cool
it.
Stuff. Like, I want to know more. Tell me more. And so being open to listening to your audience of, what are they asking for? And even asking your audience, what type of content do you want to see?
Yes.
That can be a really valuable insight that you can get with almost no effort.
Yeah, absolutely. That's excellent. I know one thing I often tell, because I do a lot of teaching for small business owners on how to use social media to market themselves. One thing I often say is, here's what you feel like saying, and here's what your audience is really looking for. And it's only when you find that sweet spot right in the middle that your content really starts to explode and do really well, perform well. So,
that kind of comes back to that mindset of, or that understanding of who your actual target audience is and what they
100%.
Want. It's one thing to look at them demographically, but it's another thing to look at them on an emotional basis and understand that side of it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. All right. Next question for you, Kyle. You're doing so great. Thank you so much. how do you balance the quality and quantity of social media content? So how often do you post, and what are your, this might be a bit of a stretch, but what are your optimal times and formats for each platform? Let's just go with like quality and quantity.
Yeah. So, in the quality versus quantity realm, that's again highly dependent on the business we're working with. If you look at my social media, I am a bit of the pot calling the kettle black here, because I think the last time I posted on my Facebook page was probably 8 months ago. And whether the quality is up there with the quality I know I can produce, probably not.
You're not alone, trust me.
It's that old chestnut of the doctor's child is the last to get seen, the carpenter's house is the last to get renovated.
Exactly.
But this is where for me, working with clients, this is where the fun happens, is creating a bunch of content, seeing what sticks. And like I was saying earlier, you kind of got to do a lot of trial and error when you start out, and figure out what type of content is resonating with people. Which, are they wanting more photos, more videos? Is it audio? Is it copywriting? You start out doing a whole bunch of different things, start seeing where you're getting more and more traction, what is resonating more. And then you can start fine tuning it. And it's when you start fine tuning it that you can then start really investing a bit more time and energy into raising the level of the quality. When it comes to social media, I think that's a one where there is a bit more of a quality over quantity value. But having said that, I'm always the first to say, like, stop just adding to the noise. If, you know, if you're only producing content for the sake or posting to social media for the sake of posting to social media, stop. Like, save your time, save your breath, save your energy, and focus on doing something else better. But again, like, each client has got different outcomes or different desires and different goals. So one of the things that we always do with every client, when we first onboard with them, is actually is sitting down and doing a strategy session, doing understanding what their business goals are, what their life goals are, you know, what
That's
does
so good.
success for them actually look like or mean. Yeah. So once we, who is their target audience, really, really starting to figure that out, because that's where we can then use our expertise to help guide you to avoid creating a whole bunch of useless content and focus your time and energy into some more valuable content.
Right. Well, for anybody hearing this, maybe for the first time, if you're not creating consistent content, it's not the end of the world. You're not the only one. You know, having a plan and a structure and working to get that, you know, functional for your life, your lifestyle, is really, really important. So great, great advice, Kyle.
One thing, if I can, one thing I would add to that,
yeah.
If you are struggling with consistency, if you are struggling with quality or quantity, I'm going to say 95% plus of small business owners that I sit down and talk to, their biggest hassle is not the right word, but their biggest challenge is like that consistency, that creating the content on a regular basis. And when I ask them what their plan is or what their strategy is for creating content, it invariably is, oh, I'm walking around and I realize, oh, I need to post something today, or I should be taking a photo of this. What I found personally, like back when I was a photographer and trying to create content, and that as things have grown and progressed and evolved, really sitting down, like dedicating 4 hours a month, you know, like just schedule it the first Monday of the month, block it off and spend 3 or 4 hours. And all you're doing is creating content, you know, and it takes me personally an hour to sit down and write one post. Because, you know, I got to get into the mindset. I got to think about what I'm going to say. I got to think about what the photo is going to be or the video clip's going to be. But if I sit down and I spend 2 hours, I can get like 10 posts written and organized and photos attached, and then schedule that. I can sit down for 3 hours, 4 hours, and I can do a whole month content calendar, use a scheduling tool, co-schedule, Hootsuite, later, whatever that tool that you want to use is, and boom, you've got 30 days worth of social media posts and content created, scheduled. That way, Thursday night at 11 o'clock, when you're finally shutting down from work, falling asleep, you don't sit bolt upright in bed and go, oh, I forgot to post something today.
Totally. It's kind of like a muscle, hey? Like the more you use it, the easier it becomes. And I find that
just,
too.
Yeah, it's one of those habits that you just start doing, and all of a sudden it becomes natural.
I love that. Such great advice. All right, we have one more question for you. And this is I love this question. So how do you leverage the power of storytelling and emotion in your social media content? And I know you've touched on that already a little bit, but just maybe go about the storytelling aspect of it in your experience and in your, you know, expertise.
Yeah, the storytelling is such an underrated aspect to content creation and content marketing. The biggest thing I think everybody can really stop and think about before they start trying to create content and try, like, how are you going to incorporate a story into your content marketing, is think about why you're in your business. Think about why you're doing what you're doing. I should have written down where I read it or who said it, but this quote, it always comes back to me, is people don't buy what you sell. They buy why you're selling it. And, right. you know, understanding why you're doing what you're doing is going to help you weave that story a lot better into the narrative of your content strategy.
Right. Absolutely. And I love that stories do sell. Stories tell, stories sell. And it's, you know, I think back to marketing 100 years ago, or advertising as it would have been referred to. It was just like, buy my stuff because I said so, you know, the billboard marketing, and it's shifted so dramatically. And I love it though. Like, it's such a human to human thing, and it doesn't matter the size of your business or if you're a large corporation, it's still one human interacting and transacting with another human.
You bet.
And that's where stories are just such a huge part of it. And I, you know, I hope that through, you know, sharing of our stories and putting this podcast out there, that people will, you know, understand that their stories matter, even if they're super scared to tell them. The more vulnerable and even transparent you make yourself and allow yourself to be with your audience, honestly, the more success is possible, because people who stand behind, you know, walls and behind closed doors, that's really never going to lead anywhere. So yeah, stories are huge.
So huge. Yeah. And, you know, if I can add, like, coming back to that idea of vanity metrics, you know, you don't need 10,000 people online clicking on a post or whatever they do online, sharing your story.
Yeah.
If you can find 10 people that you can resonate and connect with of why you're doing what you're selling, whatever, the more impactful your story is for them, the more they're going to tell 10 of their friends. And then those 10 friends, if your service or product is delivering the value that you're proposing and say it is, they're going to tell 10 friends. And suddenly the storyline of your content isn't about you, but it's what you deliver.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that so much. So amazing. Kyle, you've been such a great guest. I'm so grateful that you spent some time with me today. Now, remind everybody watching or listening where they can reach you or find you. And I'll definitely put everything in the descriptions and show notes and all the things. So I'm pretty new to podcasting, so I'm going to have to, you know, really learn the verbiage and all the stuff.
Yeah. But well, you can find me personally at I Am Kyle Hamilton on pretty much all the channels, IAM. KyleHamilton. Nice. Or Burr Agency is We Are Burr on all the channels, WEAREBIRR.
BIRR. Okay, awesome. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Kyle. You've been absolutely fantastic. And yeah, feel free, if you're, you know, either in Fernie or the Greater British Columbia area, tourism, or, you know, I'm sure Kyle would be happy to chat to you for, you know,
I'm happy to chat with anyone about anything at any time.
Awesome. Yeah. And yeah, I can vouch for Kyle. He's an awesome dude. So I'm super stoked that you spent you've been my first podcast interview, and I'm so excited.
Well, I really appreciate the honor. Yeah. It's been an honor to be part of your journey and to be the first in this journey for you. I'm really excited and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Kyle. Awesome. Well, I don't know how I'm going to say signing off, but signing off for now. Anything super specific in mind? What is your cat's name? That is going in the podcast.
That one is Freddie.
Okay.
We've got two cats there named Freddie Mercury and Ziggy Stardust.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. I love it.